Hello, and welcome to the Epic Echo Media Musings. In this podcast, we'll look at the movies and TV shows you know and love, and the things in them that we don't love so much. We'll shed our insight on the problematic pieces of the media we consume while giving you tips to use those pieces to start great conversations. The point of our podcast isn't that you stop watching your favorite shows and movies, but instead to help you use them to start empowering conversations with the folks you watch them with. Enjoy. We at The Echo want your input. Find us on social media to help us choose topics for our conversations and to ask us questions that you'd like us to answer on air. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at The Epic Echo. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Epic Echo Media Musings. Today's episode of Media Musings is going to focus on a piece of media that has remained at the forefront of pop culture for well over a decade, The Office. Whether you watched it for the first time for comedy or to rewatch it for the 100th time for comfort, you or someone you know has probably seen an episode of The Office. The show is described as a mockumentary on a group of typical office workers where the workday consists of ego clashes, inappropriate behavior, and tedium, and follows the 30-minute format of a typical sitcom. The show was home to some big names in the business both before and after the original airtime, including Steve Carell, John Krasinski, Jenna Fischer, Ed Helms, Mindy Kaling, and so many more. According to an article by Vox, in its second season, The Office became a bona fide cult and critical hit, capping off its unlikely turnaround that year by winning the Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Series. By its sixth season, it was just a hit, period. The 11th biggest show on TV among younger viewers. It remains popular among viewers young and old thanks to streaming services, and during its time on Netflix between 2020 and 2021, it was streamed for around 52 billion minutes, which is a ton. That, I mean, streaming numbers always blow my mind, but that one specifically, that is so much time.
Yeah,
it's literally years, and it was more time than any other show, new or old, available to stream on Netflix at that time. This data is limited, and it was collected based on streams directly to TV, so that doesn't include like phone data and stuff like that, but still, huge ratings. So whether you've seen every episode a handful of times or you're just now getting around to your first viewing like me, I hope that will give you some great insight to think about the next time you sit down and watch The Office. I am here today with my coworker and Epic's shelter director, Andrea Riley. If you want to go ahead and just give a little intro and then we'll jump right in.
Okay. So like Nora said, I'm Andrea Brown Riley. I'm the director of shelter services here at Epic. I've been in this role for almost, I guess, 2.5 years. But prior to that, I was the DV specialist here at Epic for Berkeley County. And before that, I was the Berkeley County domestic violence victim advocate. So that's me.
Epic legend, to say the least. And I'm so excited to do this episode today. Most of the time for folks that are kind of new to the podcast, I bring these episodes to folks kind of with the concept and I just find someone who's willing to talk about them. But every once in a while, someone on staff will bring me an idea and say, hey, I love this show. I love this movie. Can we please cover it? I've got so much to say. And this was one of those cases. So I'm wondering if you would start us off by just kind of talking about your relationship to The Office. I, you know, just kind of like what brings you to it, what keeps you there. And then we can get into kind of how you think you're able to criticize it too. I know that's always fun for folks to hear.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I have been a fan of the show. Gosh, let's see. Probably, let's see, I guess like 12 or 13 years. I got into it after it had been airing for, you know, quite some time. And then my husband and I started watching it together, like while we were dating. And, you know, we watched the whole, you know, show together. And then like, you know, I got to the last episode and I was like, man, I really want to watch it again. And he was like, eh, you know, whatever. I don't really feel that need. And I was like, well, I'm just going to rewatch it on my own. And it just, it's kind of my comfort show at this point. Like I always have it on in the background. I put it on to fall asleep. It's, you know, it's what I watch when I need something just like I don't have to focus on, you know, to when I'm feeling anxious or stressed out. You know, it's just like one of my favorite shows. It's it's my show.
And I think we all have that one show. So I love that you're not only willing to come on and talk about all the great things about it, but that it's your favorite show that you watch pretty much weekly. It sounds like if you're anything like
Oh,
me, I rewatch my comfort show constantly, just beginning to end,
yes.
beginning to end. So like that
Yes.
you're also willing though to come on and be a little bit critical of it and,
Yes.
highlight some spaces that it could have been better. Because some folks are so staunchly, I love this thing. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think it's a little bit fun when we can be critical of the things that we love because they could always be better.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously, folks that listen to Media Musings know, but I will go ahead and disclaimer it before we dive into the hard stuff. We are in no way, obviously, trying to get you to not watch The Office again. I'm sure that Andrea will be rewatching it again once she gets home from work tonight. So we're actually trying to get you to watch it a little bit more, just with our insight in mind, and with some of these conversation starters that we're going to bring up today, so that we can all continue to just grow a little bit while we're watching our comfort shows. So one of the we watched several episodes. Thank you also, Andrea, for giving me a list of episodes to kind of watch. I have never seen The Office. My partner watches The Office. Most of my friends, obviously, we're all in our 20s, are pretty familiar with it. It just wasn't one that I had really ever jumped into. The mockumentary shows aren't one of my biggest. I'm a classical sitcom type of gal, your Modern Families, your things like that. So I had just never jumped into it, but I watched a couple of episodes and actually about a half a season more than I even was going to. And honestly, there was a lot
You're
more.
hooked now.
Yeah, like I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. It definitely started to grow on me. The as I was writing down my critical points, I even kept writing down points that I was like, oh, that's not even critical. I think that's just an opinion, Nora. So it was nice. It was fun to kind of catch up with pop culture for a minute and experience it. Was there a specific episode that you would like to start out on, Andrea? I know some of the ones that I've got notes on here, but is there any place, or do you want to start by just describing some of the characters? How are we feeling?
I mean, I feel like just going in chronological order is probably the
Perfect.
easiest, because that way we can also talk about maybe how some of the characters like grow, depending on, kind of where they fall along the spectrum. I know we're gonna kind of talk about a lot of things, and we're gonna probably hit on like, masculinity
Of course, yes.
and things like that. So yeah, so we can just start at the beginning and make our way through.
Perfect. I think the first episode that I watched, which I'm realizing now was kind of silly, I should have just started with the pilot, but I skipped the pilot. I started with episode two. So that is where I started my viewing. And right off the bat, I love a show that gives us a problematic character to kind of be the scapegoat. I think that's such good writing. We've got a couple of them in this show. So I thought that that was very, very fun. My first instinct was, please, 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 I wish I could find information on the internet that Steve Carell didn't actually use the N-slur and that they just blurted out him saying nothing.
Oh,
And
you
so
know what?
far from what I discovered on the internet, it seems like he didn't actually say it. So
No,
my
I don't
heart
think
rested
he
easy.
would. I feel like, I don't think he would have.
Yeah, no, my heart rested easy when I couldn't find any info about that. But so the point of this episode essentially is that it's Diversity Day in the office, and they are trying to learn about other cultures and learn about how to make the office culture a little bit more respectful. And it brings some shenanigans.
Oh yes. Well, because the whole premise of that particular episode is that Steve Carell's character Michael Scott, was doing was it a Chris Rock stand-up bit, and just completely inappropriate, disrespectful, throws the N-word out there. And because of this, the corporate is like, well, now you have to do this diversity day training, and it comes out at the end of the episode, that really they're doing it because all they need is his signature that he went through the training, because this is all his fault in the first place. But he just, true to Michael Scott fashion, he just kind of bombs the whole thing and just makes it way more out of control than it ever needed to be in the first place.
Yeah, it's so like funny to me that this is such an old episode because honestly, with the conversations that have been going on culturally for the past couple of years, I was like, this episode could have been filmed 2 weeks ago and I
Yes.
would have had the exact same reaction.
Yep.
The way that Michael comes in and he's like, well, I already know all this stuff, so let me just go ahead and teach. That is so classic. As people that we are, that are training community members, those are actual people that actually exist. And so it was very fun to kind of get to see. Again, I love when they take a character and they make them problematic so that we can address this kind of stuff. That being said, there were some moments that I think, obviously, it's a decade old at this point. I'd like to say that we've grown a little bit. And like some of those moments were just the ways that conversations are kind of brought up and then just used as jokes instead of used to kind of further the conversation or to kind of further the plot. So for example, let me find my notes here. They do that identity swap. Oh, Zoinks. This was so funny to watch, but I was like, oh boy, wish we'd had a follow-up.
Yes. Well, it's funny because he had, what do you have, Martin Luther King Jr. taped it.
Yeah, so the identity swap, they all get little, it's kind of like that game Heads Up, I think it's called, where they all get a card, they put it to their forehead, and they're supposed to be guessing what the identity that they have is by asking each other questions. So it, of course, goes so horribly wrong. You start to realize everybody has horribly biased stereotypes, and it goes so off the rails so quickly. And again, I love that they use these kind of not great people to showcase that. The only criticism that I have as far as that stuff goes is I wish we had just taken like a beat after that activity to highlight why that was actually really problematic. There's a lot of just assuming that folks will understand that we were just kidding. And I just wish they would take that one step further in comedy to just, which some people say that kills the joke. I say that kind of makes it all a little bit better. But I think we can still have all of the stuff that was in the episode. There's just a matter of being like, hey guys, we're in on it. We're in on the joke that I think is missing a little bit. And that's a lot of my critique
Like
for a
we
lot of
realize
this stuff.
that Michael's we realize that, Michael Scott is a problematic character, and I think that that's kind of like what they're trying to do is like, they're poking fun at this kind of person who's just so clueless and so ignorant and just doesn't get it but thinks that they get it. And I think, I think that's kind of like his whole purpose throughout the show is just like you're meant to kind of laugh at him. He's meant to be cringy in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they do a great job. And Steve Carell does a great job at getting that point across. One of
He
the other
really
things
does.
that is a common theme that I kind of noticed is even the characters, and this one kind of bums me out a little bit, but even the characters that we are kind of supposed to like are kind of quiet when a lot of this happens. And I think that would be another good opportunity for shows to take is like, yeah, we have those characters that you're supposed to hate, but if you gave us one likable character that everybody else probably hates because they're the one that's always making those corrections or doing that, I think just one sane voice in the room could have really turned this whole episode around for me. I think I would have immediately been like, wow, great job, guys. But it's just kind of that idea of you're trying to make us love these characters and there's going to be this character growth, but you couldn't have given us a little taste and had someone say, hi, this is weird or wrong. I think, yeah, that's my big takeaway with this one. They did great. All the jokes in this one were pretty funny, and honestly, not too many that I found just blatantly offensive for no reason. And I think they could have tied it up really well if they could have just had one of the characters in the office around that training day just step in and say something, kind of that bystander intervention, just modeled a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I was thinking. Like as you're saying this, I'm like, man, somebody like really needs to go in there and do some bystander like intervention training with them so they all know how to deal with him and his shenanigans.
Yeah, but it is also kind of realistic in that in a lot of these settings, especially in an office setting with those power dynamics that are always at play, most folks wouldn't actually feel like they could do that in those circumstances. So I completely understand the decisions they make. Again, it's just those ways that we could make it a little bit better. And the way that you can use this this episode is by having some of these conversations. And you can start those off by saying, have you ever been in a training where someone did that? Because I have, and let me tell you about it. And then just by sharing those experiences, sharing what was wrong, those are the conversations we're talking about, where even if the show is something that will be, which it will be, they're not going to change it now, it's going to stay as it is, but we can change the conversation around it.
Exactly. Yeah. We can point out where it's problematic and why, like, you know, maybe it's so interesting to me because I think of like how this show, like if they were remaking it, like starting from scratch and redoing it today, like how it would be different and like how they would still convey like Michael's cringiness and some of these like, you know, problematic behaviors and opinions in a way that doesn't come across as necessarily condoning it for the sake of the joke. Because I feel like that's kind of one of the big differences, you know, in the show, you know, in its own, you know, era of time, as opposed to like if it was to be made now.
And it should also be noted that even for a show that came out when it did, it still got a lot right, like a lot more than a lot of other shows did.
Yeah.
And we're here today to, you know, kind of point to the more critical aspects, but there's a lot in this episode alone that I think could really be used as a teaching tool, and in a lot of these other episodes too. Let's see, I don't know if I have them in order here, but we can.
I can't remember if one of the episodes that I had mentioned, like suggested to watch, or if you happen to like watch this one on your own, it's one of the later seasons. I want to say maybe season 8, but there's like a scene, and so where there it kind of calls itself out, where it kind of does this thing that you're talking about, where it's like, you know, if just one person would just like point out like, hey, this is not okay. And so like the scene is the characters, Andy, it's Ed Helms' character, and Aaron, played by Ellie Kemper, and like she, so in this particular point in the show, that the two characters are dating, and he's like, he was fired, and so she's like talking to some of the other characters, and she's like, yeah, and you know, he's been, you know, really upset about, you know, not working here anymore, and he's been taking it out on me, and everybody that she's telling this to is like, you hit her, like what did you do, you know, like they all like get all up in arms and jump to her defense. You know, so I feel like that's kind of one of those instances where it's like, you know, the joke is that like she's being misinterpreted, that he's, you know, abusing her in some way because, you know, he's mad about losing his job. And, you know, the other characters are like, no, like that's not okay. So I feel like in later seasons, at least, I feel like that sort of thing happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, I am very new to the show, so I am so glad that you're here to kind of lead folks in the right direction as far as that goes, because I definitely have not seen every episode. As far as movies go, it's very easy for me to watch.
Right. Yeah.
Condensed. But I did. Yeah. And like I said, I did learn a lot just from the episodes that I watched, but this, I only watched episodes within the first like 4 seasons. So there's a whole chunk of time that I'm still missing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that they did a lot of character development and growth in that time that I won't be reflecting today. So that was a great point to bring up. The next episode, oh, this one's going to be a fun one. The next one that I watched was the sexual harassment episode, season 2, episode 2.
Oh, God.
And this one has some points.
I feel like the title of that episode is so apt, because by the end of it, you kind of feel like you've been sexually harassed just by virtue of watching this episode. It's so terrible.
Yup. And again, I think this episode did a great job. They really do depict a lot of people, like in the way they react to these situations, in a way that's like really, really realistic to the people that I've worked with in my career, at least. And specifically, like some of the things they said in this episode were, I think at one point it's Pam who says, usually the day we talk about sexual harassment, everyone harasses me as a joke. And I was like, that Yep, that sounds like everywhere.
Well, I think it's, you know, like they say that people like will make jokes, you know, when the topic is uncomfortable, right? So like in our line of work and in our experience, like people are not comfortable talking about these things. I think as advocates, like we get like desensitized to it because we're talking about it all day, every day. And so, you know, for us to just be like, yeah, statistics on sexual assault and domestic violence. And, you know, like, it's just, it doesn't like mean anything. Not that it doesn't mean anything, but it doesn't have the same emotional impact on us. Whereas like, you know, for lay folk or, you know, people in other helping professions, they're not surrounded by it all the time. And so, you know, when we're focusing on these topics, you know, they get uncomfortable because they don't know how to talk about it. They don't know how to address it. They just know that it's bad and they don't want it to happen. But, you know, like how do you convey that if you're, it's something that you're used to doing. So I don't know. That's kind of, it's kind of getting us off on a little tangent.
No, I think that was a perfect, that describes perfectly, I think, what people that aren't fictional characters obviously are going through when we come into these rooms. The fictional characters, of course, have probably more malicious intent, but we don't think obviously that those folks do. Yeah, there's a lot in this episode. We meet, I guess maybe not for the first time, but it was the first time I was introduced to the Todd Packer character, which was a blast.
Hate him so much.
He's the worst.
I literally hate him.
I literally wrote in my notes with like four underlines that he is the misogynist.
Yes, yes. Every episode that features him, just like my least favorite episodes are any of the episodes with him in it. I just can't.
Yeah, I can completely get that. Let's see. What else do I have here? They watch a sexual harassment video. This was actually a great scene that I wanted to bring up. They watch a sexual harassment video that I think they're planning to like screen to the rest of the office or something. Yeah. And one of the blue collar, we'll call them because I'm not sure what their actual jobs are here.
The warehouse workers,
yes, Daryl. The warehouse workers. One of the warehouse workers says that he had actually been intimate with one of the people in the video. And that starts this whole conversation about how she's a hypocrite then, because how can she be in this video if she very clearly wanted to have, you know, to be intimate with you? Then how can we then be in this video saying you don't want to be intimate with every person that hits on you? And it's this victim blaming that is, I mean, again, it's such a good representation of how those conversations come up naturally.
Yeah. Well, and it's even kind of like, it kind of hints a little bit at like the slut shaming too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, oh, well, like clearly, you know, you're this promiscuous person. And so your consent is like all encompassing to all askers at all times. And, you know, which is obviously not true.
Yeah. It's kind of this mindset of like, well, if you're willing to have sex, then you're willing to be harassed. Like you're kind of like open to that, which in no way makes any sense rationally, but that is truly, I mean, not obviously in this dramatic of a depiction, but that is truly how these conversations get started. And that's why we're trying to have conversations to combat them. And using this show is a great example of that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like it's clear in this whole episode that the joke is that the men are being offensive, but yet again, I'm going to bring it back. This will probably be a thread that we touch. And again, I'm glad you already brought up that it does happen later on, but none of the quote unquote good guys do anything again. Yeah. And that's so heartbreaking.
Yeah. 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 And I think, and I think it's partly, well, and yeah. I mean, it just comes back to like the bystander intervention training and like things like that, you know, that like, if you don't know how to step up and say something, you know, and if you're the one that's always like at the butt of these jokes or, you know, on the receiving end of the harassment and the inappropriate behavior, like it's like, you need somebody to actually come in and say it for you. And, you know, and we don't really get an example of that until later as well. Like, I feel like I'm thinking of all these other like examples, like, after the fact, after the email.
I'm glad that that character growth does happen. I think that that's so awesome. Because I know that a lot of folks like really, really love some of these like characters. And like, I'm glad to know that that, you know, those characters actually do show some growth and development. That's always great. But yeah, like I said, I just wish that they had given us a little bit of an example of that. But in lieu of that, that's why we can have those conversations now. And you can actually just break it down and say, how would you react if you were Jim, for example, in the right. office on that day? What would you yeah. do? Those are the conversations that I have with folks all the time when we do bystander intervention trainings. It's giving mm-hmm. you a scenario and saying, okay, great. Now, how would you go about this? And that's what right. the show is doing. It's giving us the scenarios. You just now have to start the conversation.
Right. And I think one of the other big dangers about, you know, the show and the way it jokes about some of these things is that because in the show, it's all like lighthearted, you know, it's fun, you know, nobody is really, you know, in danger. But like when these things happen in the real world, it's not funny. Like it's not funny. People can actually be harmed. Like these are the kinds of like mindsets and environments that lead to greater violence. And so, you know, I think it's one thing to, you know, joke about it in a show and to kind of like poke fun and, you know, like, oh, like this guy's so clueless and saying all these stupid things. But, you know, when you compare it to like the real world, like it's not funny. It's like, yeah. it's definitely not okay. So I think, you know, like it is good that we're having these conversations and being able to use shows like this as the vehicle for that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things we haven't addressed yet is that not only are adults, you know, like you and I watching this show, but there's a huge teenage audience for this show too. And for especially, you know, especially for those young men who are watching the show and seeing how these characters react, they may not have the full realization yet that, well, this isn't okay. Like what we were talking about earlier, how they don't know that all the characters are in on the joke. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we know that we're representing bad people, right. but in those young minds, they might not be able to put those pieces together yet. They might not have the full realization that I'm not supposed to like Michael Scott. I'm not supposed to want to be like him.
Yes,
so that's where it's important for us to have those conversations, because otherwise we're going to have folks going out and saying these things and not understanding why it's being met with people getting upset or people being offended or people being triggered. If you just seen that react and then in the next episode, everybody's all huggy and they're going to do things together. And there's no repercussion.
Right.
And that's why we have to have these conversations, because otherwise you're just going to go forward thinking that that's how folks will react when you say these harmful things.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here to talk about. And there's plenty more to
go. There's so much more.
Alrighty. The next one that I covered was season 2, episode 15, Boys and Girls.
Mm.
This one was a lot about women in the workplace. I think this is the one that starts with Michael sitting all the women down, or not Michael sitting the women down, but one of their higher ups sits all the women down. And Michael wants to be involved. So they all essentially are just talking about why it's difficult to be a woman in the workplace, specifically in their workplace. And they're kind of trying to have this little team building exercise, which obviously, of course, Michael's shenanigans are going to come to play. All this episode obviously has some issues, but I didn't really have too much critique on it. I think that the jokes were pretty clear. Again, obviously we could say the same old stuff about all the other episodes, but this one didn't bring up anything new for me.
Yeah, I think one of the things that stands out to me in this episode is when they go to the mall, right? That's mm-hmm. this, yeah.
Wait, that might be. Actually,
or am I thinking of a different one now? Am I confusing it with?
That might be Women's Appreciation.
Oh, it is.
Let's just jump right in. That one is season 3, episode 22. But we'll jump right in.
Okay. So I don't know. Did you want to?
This episode, I think the premise, if I'm remembering correctly, is when one of the office mates gets flashed in the parking lot. And so the office is reacting to what should they do to kind of make her feel better and then also to prevent it from happening again.
Right. So that's, and I feel like this is one of like, this episode has some of the more like serious stuff in it that's, you know, definitely presented in a jokey, you know, fun way. But it's like, I mean, she was, you know, like it's just like sexually abused in the parking lot of her workplace. And then you have, you know, Michael, who's making all these really terrible jokes about it. Like really.
The physical joke too.
Yes.
He unzips his pants. I mean, boy, my jaw hit the floor.
Yes. Just like, yeah, that, like, and when I think about it, like in terms of like real life, I just like this is terrible. Like it makes me mad. Like as an advocate, it makes me so mad. And I just want to like, like yell at him and be like, this is not okay. Like, this is not how you support somebody who's just experienced something like this. Like she could have been harmed far worse than she was. Mm-hmm. Like,
and the first thing they say is they can't believe it was her and not one of the quote unquote more attractive
right
of the office.
Right. So, you know, again, more victim blaming, mm-hmm. like as if, you know, well, only attractive women, you know, quote unquote attractive women experience like sexual abuse and sexual assault and sexual harassment. And
because she doesn't fit his bill for who should have had that happen to them, it's right. just funny.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, and that makes me mad too, because then it's he's like wishing it on Pam or Karen. And it's like just like that's it's just so not okay. Like it really makes me mad. Like I get as a, you know, as a human being who cares about other human beings, it makes me really, really mad.
Yeah, this one also definitely got to me, especially, yeah. I will say, as a prevention educator, it yes. had all of my gears turning, because also in this episode, they decide as an office, mm-hmm. and I think it's Dwight specifically uh-huh. that leads this initiative, but they decide that what they're going to do to handle this situation is they are going to give the women very strict rules uh-huh. on how they can dress, when yep. they need to come to work, like just yep. so many strict rules on what they need to change to prevent getting flashed. And this is such a good reflection of yes. how folks actually think when it comes to prevention, specifically yep. prevention of sexual harassment and sexual mm-hmm. assault. We are always constantly, I mean, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when you say victim blaming is what was she wearing and things like yep. that. And this is that laid out. Except for they're giving it yeah. to us in a way that I think is a great vehicle for conversation to say, wow, yes. when you put it that way, when you make it seem so dramatic, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. But in reality, yes. it's the yes. same thing.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, and also I'm removing all bananas from the break room. Mm-hmm. And, but it's like, and I think I kind of like that they threw that like super pointless, like that, what, how is removing bananas from the break room going to help anything? But I think like it's kind of piggybacking on just how like useless all these other suggestions are, like yep. you know, wearing no makeup and wearing, you know, whatever, high collared long sleeved shirts and, you know, yep. no ponytails. Like they're all stupid suggestions and not helpful.
Yeah, and definitely yeah. for any folks, you know, who I think this is, again, it's such a great vehicle to just look at it and say, wow, when we are telling, you know, specifically young women that when they are going out to the bars, they need to dress appropriately so that they can protect themselves. And like when we're actually telling folks to do that in real life, that is exactly, this scene should come to mind. You should think, oh my gosh, no, that's ridiculous. That wouldn't work, because it won't. It won't yeah. work. We know that in prevention. Yeah. The work that we do in communities at EPIC every single day is actually trying to combat that narrative of, yeah. well, if everyone learns self-defense, then nobody will have any assaults happen to them, which is right. so far from true.
It's like, you know what will also make it so no assaults happen? If people stop assaulting people.
Exactly.
Just throwing that out there. Call me old-fashioned, but...
Yeah, exactly. And those things like bystander intervention that we were talking about are actually proven prevention methods that we know work if folks are, you know, getting that information out to them. So I think that this specific episode was one I could not wait to get to for that conversation. Yeah. And then also, yeah, we were going to circle back around to the shopping trip at the end of that episode as well. You wanted to mention
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yeah, the yes. so, Victoria's like, Secret.
Yeah, well, so actually even before that, when they're in the food court and they're talking about his relationship with Jan, and I think it gets totally glossed over, when they're at the mall in the food court and they're having a conversation about Michael and Jan's relationship, and I think they gloss over it so quickly that like it's almost like you have to be like, wait, did they just like suggest what I think that they're suggesting, that essentially like she's been sexually assaulting him, because mm-hmm. they talk about how he says like, well, we even have like a safe word in you know when we're having sex, and sometimes she pretends like she doesn't hear me,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, wow, like I don't know, like that scene just always, it breaks my heart, and like, and it's also just feels so very shocking to me because I see it for what it is. But, you know, but nobody else, like, in that scene, like, nobody says anything. Like, they don't address it at all. And I don't know if that's, like, intentional. I don't know if it's because the writers didn't realize, like, the seriousness of what they were implying. I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. But that scene really gets me. And I feel like, you know, it just kind of speaks to maybe the fact that, like, we don't think about men being able to be sexually assaulted, or, you know, you know, otherwise consensual relationships as, you know, having sexual assault, you know, being a component of it. So I don't know. It just always, like, really gets me thinking whenever I watch that scene.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know if I caught that the first time, because I'm sure I would have noted it. The only thing that I, like, really remembered from the end of that episode was I think it's interesting the way that they do it. Obviously, I think they should have spent a little bit more time on the severity of the conversation, because at the end of the episode too is the one where he, like, tries to break up with her or does break up with her, but he's, like, super scared to do it. So, like, all not great signs coming from this relationship. But I do think that it is an ill-timed stroke of pretty comedic genius, I would say, though, that after he confides in them about his relationship and about the ways that he feels uncomfortable, that he then immediately ends the day by saying, but it's fine. I'll buy you all something from Victoria's Secret. Thank you for your help. Which, you know, I mean, that's a pretty great comedic example of the lack of character growth we get from Michael Scott.
At this point, there is none character growth.
One definitely was an interesting episode. A great episode to watch if you're trying to start some of these conversations that we've been having today about masculinity. About the fact that he only felt comfortable to bring those conversations up when he was alone with the group of women. You could elaborate on that. Why didn't he bring it up with his work friends that are the men that he normally hangs out with, that he would normally confide in? There's a lot of conversations around, like, masculinity and culture that you could have based on this conversation. All right. And I think we're down to the last episode that I covered specifically for the show today. And then we'll kind of give some summaries and talk about anything else we want to get to. The last one that I watched was season 3, episode 1, Gay Witch Hunt. And this one was hard to swallow. Let me say that first. For one main reason, the biggest issue that I have with this episode is something that I think would have already changed if it were made today. But the fact that in some cases, slurs are not suitable for TV, and slurs are bleeped out. And then in other cases, slurs are deemed appropriate for any character to say. So the F slur that is used against the LGBTQ, specifically the gay community, is used about 10 times in this episode. Yeah. And then the R slur is used about 6 times.
And I think... when it aired on TV, I know that the F slur got bleeped out.
That's great.
But I know when, like, on streaming, they don't bleep it. I don't know about the R slur, if they bleeped that for when it was on TV or not. I feel like they might now. I feel like they might now, but.
It's jarring for me to hear that stuff just kind of, like, nonchalantly thrown out so much. It kind of kept taking me out of the episode because I was like, wow, if that was made today, they'd get, like, canceled. Like, cancel culture would be all over this show and, like, all of that stuff. And obviously, I'm not saying that we need to cancel the show. That why would I make this episode if that were the case?
Sure.
But it just is jarring, and I think it's something that we need to note, that this show wasn't made that long ago. It was about a decade ago that all of this stuff was perfectly suitable for daytime TV. Which is jarring.
For sure.
The whole episode, though, has got some issues. So the premise of this one is that there is a member of the office who is, at the beginning, I'm not even sure that you're supposed to know that he actually is gay, but you end up finding out that he is. But regardless, Michael assumes that he is or finds out that he is and decides to out him to the entire office. And this episode specifically, I think, Along with the last one, those two were the ones that I think really I felt were important to have the conversation that these have really big lasting repercussions. Whereas the other ones are kind of just like, ha ha, that's a bad person. Outing someone is really, really dangerous. 10 years ago or today, outing someone is really, really dangerous. So while we can continue to laugh at this episode, and obviously it's going to be there for the rest of time, I do think it's really important to note the severity of that last episode with the flasher and the severity of this episode with the public outing.
Well, because this is the kind of like nonchalance, like the nonchalant attitude that leads to death, right? Like this is the kind
Absolutely.
of violence that escalates and or you know it's the kind of attitude that creates an environment for violence to to escalate and become lead to death.
Yeah, absolutely. And the episode from there does just kind of get a little bit worse. They start what I mean is known as the gay witch hunt. And they go around the office and they're trying to find out if any other office members are gay or queer so that they can then not offend them. Which again, that part is obviously the part we're supposed to laugh at. And I think we can allow ourselves a little bit of like the ridiculousness of what we're watching. But still, again, that is so super dangerous, specifically for queer folks that are currently in office settings like this. And who are really looking for a level of like respect and like care to be taken. You know, I mean, you never know how your office mates will react to finding out those details about you. Folks could get violent. Folks could refuse to work with you. It could affect your performance. Like if you worked at a place like us, it could affect the way you serve your clients. There's just so much of an impact it can have on your professional life. And then also on, in your personal life, that violence, if family members were to find out that weren't supportive, you could lose family members. You could lose that job if the higher ups found out and they weren't supportive of it. You know, there's a lot of repercussions that this episode leaves out, obviously, for comedy.
And I mean I think they kind of like talk a little bit about some of them within like the professional work setting and like Toby he's their HR guy is like, well, now he's feeling discriminated against because you outed him and his coworkers are like treating him differently and just like the way they're they're just treating him like badly and weird like and maybe even not even badly but Mindy Kaling's character Kelly like comes up to him and she's like it is so cool that you're gay like what? Like why just why so yeah it's just it yeah it impacts for sure for
Yeah,
sure.
absolutely. There's a lot that goes down in this office. And like you said, there is that HR character kind of being there to try to keep the wheels on the bus. Of course, Michael Scott does everything in his power to go against that, as he usually does. And that's, I think, the part that we can really laugh at is like, yeah, well, sometimes that voice wins out over the voice of reason. And, you know, we can kind of give ourselves that little bit of like a break at the end, but I do think this one is very important, as well as the last one, to have those greater issues conversations. There's also a moment in this episode where they openly view pornography in the office, and like folks are walking by, so that's non-consensual. Like
Right, like
that's
exposure to like sexual imagery.
Yeah, this office has got a lot of issues on its hands, that is for sure.
just one big like lawsuit waiting to happen. Well, I guess which they address in the episode, right? Like at the end, like they're like, if you don't sue us, we'll give you like a 3 month pay vacation.
Which of course he accepts, which I think is also a
I
great
mean, you
way
know
to end
what?
that.
Good. Good for him. The least he could get out of that. And this is the episode too where Michael like kisses him in the conference room.
And again, those characters we're supposed to like, nobody says anything again.
I can't even imagine. Like, I just think about that like happening in real life, again, and just like I don't know that I could just sit there and watch that happen. I would probably just have to get up and like physically like separate them. It's just the first couple of times that I watched that scene, it was with just horror and disgust that, like, why is this okay? It just, it didn't even seem appropriate for TV. It just, it really seemed just really, I mean, it is really bad. You know, I think at this point I'm probably desensitized to it because I've watched it so many times and, you know, it's within the context of the show, but just like, it just, it's just terrible. It's just not good.
Yeah, I feel like it's rare for a sitcom to, like, showcase a specific, like, incident of an assault or something like that. So it is jarring when you're watching a sitcom. And although they may not have seen it that way when they created it, that's what it is. That's what you're watching. Yep. So I think it is really jarring. I mean, it was very jarring for me the first time, like, that I watched it for this episode. And I think for folks that aren't, like, if that isn't something that stuck out to you, I think that that is an opportunity for you to do a little bit more learning and to grow a little bit more, to understand the dynamics of what was at play there. Not only was it just straight up assault, but also the power dynamics of that happening. Oscar was in a position where he probably felt that he couldn't say anything. Obviously, I'm inferring what a fictional character is thinking.
Right.
But I'm sure, you know, if that were a real person, they would be thinking like, oh my gosh, I can't tell anyone about this. I can't go to anyone. He's my boss. So just the implications of something like that are really, really serious.
Well, and the fact that it's happening in front of your entire office of coworkers, and they're literally all just sitting there watching it happen, doing nothing, saying nothing. Like, how powerless must he have felt, like, in that moment? Like, I just, and then at the end to be forced to have to console him. Like, but it really does, I feel like it's almost an exaggeration of how these kinds of things really happen in real life, you know, in terms of, you know, somebody who has experienced this traumatic event and they're sharing it with others looking for support, you know, and instead, you know, everybody is rallying to the side of the abuser and it's like, well, you know, they didn't mean it, or they didn't know what they were doing, or their intentions were good. And I feel like with this scene, that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing like this visual comedic representation of that kind of situation.
Yeah. And then also when you think about like smaller scale incidents and things like microaggressions and things like that, it's really common for when a microaggression happens for that person that has committed the microaggression to obviously feel bad and to be like, oh my gosh, I never meant to do that. I'm so sorry. I would never do that. And then that person who's, you know, who you've just really, really upset or insulted or offended, then has to come to your aid. So that's a great point. That's a great point. And I think that's a great example of that. And that feeling that you get inside where you're like, ew, this feels gross. Why is he having to do that? Those are the feelings you need to dive deeper into while you're watching this kind of stuff and think, why did that make me feel that way? What can I do to learn more about the situation? What can I do to protect people who are in that situation? And that's really what we're here to do.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe there's fans out there who, I don't know if there will be other Office fans will listen to this episode and be like, no, like you're thinking too hard about it and you're digging too, you know, deep on it and like, just let it be funny. And it's just, but it's not, it really is that deep. I feel like it just.
Right. I mean, I think those first three episodes we covered, we did a great job of letting folks in on the understanding that we don't think all these episodes are bad. Most of those episodes, I had very few critiques on even. But when it comes to issues like this, or when it comes to issues like that, the episode with Phyllis before that we talked about, those are issues that are truly going to impact the folks that are watching them. Specifically, when we circle back around to that conversation about teenagers and young adults who don't fully understand what these situations look like in the real world yet, we have to be the ones that help them get there. And these issues are too big to not have conversations about.
Yes.
Absolutely. So that being said, it is the point in the episode where we are going to kind of go through and wrap some things up. We'll give our like final takeaways for folks to think about. And then we'll wrap it up for the day. So I can go first. You can go first. That's up to you.
Right. Yes, I I'll let you go first.
Perfect. All right. My number one takeaways for your office viewing pleasures, folks, are going to be to, number one, start one of these conversations that I'm about to tell you about. So the conversations that I think are most important when we're talking about the office specifically are going to be about bystander intervention. I think this show and a lot of these mockumentary style shows like Parks and Rec or like Abbott Elementary are really great examples of how to teach bystander intervention by just what would you do scenarios. So like in these mockumentaries, they give you kind of the feeling that you are a member, that you're there with them experiencing these things. So they're already creating that sense of empathy with the characters. And I'm just asking you to take it one step further and to have those conversations with the folks around you of, well, if that was me, I totally wouldn't have reacted that way. And these are things that I think folks do a lot more than you realize. I know I am guilty of talking when the TV is on 24/7. So I start these conversations all the time without even realizing it. But if we do it with intention and we're able to actually set intentions, sit down, watch this episode specifically with, you know, teens, if you know some of those that you're close with, and just kind of watch the episodes together, talk about the issues, talk about what you would do in that situation, what you wouldn't do in that situation. Or if you don't know, you can brainstorm that together. I would also say that we need to understand the real big picture when it comes to TV sometimes, specifically when we're talking about issues that are life-threatening or that could potentially become life-threatening, like we talked about those last two episodes in detail. If it's an issue that's, we talk about it in like a pyramid of violence a lot. If it's an issue that's starting with a joke that can then tumble into anger, that can then tumble into physical harm, those are the things that we're talking about that have a little bit more of an impact on us than we know. So it's not those jokes that are like, oh, we set this up to make it seem offensive so that Michael Scott could seem worse than he is. We're talking about those jokes that are really, really, really going to impact the way that someone sees someone else, specifically like Phyllis or like Oscar in those situations. And that is pretty much my takeaway. Andrea, anything to add?
I mean, I think just in terms of like, you know, yeah, the show and shows like it, you know, they're meant to be funny. They're meant to be, you know, lighthearted comedy, whatever. You know, but I think, you know, they're talking about very real situations because they are that, like you said, you know, that mockumentary style. And I think just being mindful not to like get caught up in like the fiction and the comedy of it, and you know, real, and you know, if you're, make sure you're still able to like walk away from it and be like, yeah, like these situations, like they're bad, and like in the real world, you know, we do need to handle them in a better way. We do need to be able to, you know, use our voice to help people that, you know, are in these situations, you know, as opposed to in the show where people are just not doing anything, you know. So just, yeah, I think just being mindful, and then, and also just like not getting caught up in, you know, like Michael Scott's character, you know, he's there's a charm to him, to his whatever weirdness. and I think that kind of softens the edge of some of his cringe. But like I don't know, like just not getting sucked into that, not allowing that to excuse the behavior, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like it's, you can't find yourself being like, oh, well, it's okay, 'cause he's just a weirdo. Like, yeah. Okay, well, even weirdos need to be held accountable. Even weirdos need to, you know, respect boundaries and consent and things like that. So I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense, but
yeah, I think that made perfect sense. In an episode that will be also coming out very soon, we do a really deep dive into that conversation about kind of being able to separate bad behaviors from sweet fictional characters, and specifically men who are fictional characters who are really idolized.
Oh, that sounds like it'll be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you're totally right. There are so many characters that are talked about online 24/7 from this show. And you do kind of have to do that work of separating the character that you love from the behaviors that you don't. And hopefully we have been able to help some folks do that today. Andrea, thank you so much for sharing all of your great insight with me and for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Everyone,
thank you.
Please.
Thank you. It was fun.
Great. Everyone, please start one of these conversations the next time you're watching The Office. If you have any questions or comments on today's episode, please find us on social media at The Epic Echo and let us know. And if you have any suggestions for what else we should cover on Media Musings, you can send those over to us on social media as well. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Epic Echo. To suggest topic ideas, guest recommendations, or even just to ask questions you'd like us to answer on air, please find us on social media at The Epic Echo Podcast or on our website at epicwv.org/epic-echo.